understand that for the young people and in relation to something that happened recently. I want to be relevant to the time we're living in and the season what is happening, so you can know that what has happened to other people can happen to us. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
Come on, isn't that so?
Yeah.
So, are you prepared to meet God? Are you prepared to meet God?
Yes.
Amen. Let me ask that question again. Are you prepared to meet God now?
Yes.
So if you die right now, you're going to be with the Lord?
Yes.
Anybody sure about that?
Yes.
It's very important that we live like that. Why I'm saying so? Recently, 17 people die in a school shooting. Among the dead were 15 I received information about. 12 of them were teenagers. 12 of them were teenagers, and the age ranked like this. 7, 14 years. 1, 15 year. 1, 16 year. 2, 17 years. 1, 18 years. All of them were what? Teenagers. That a 35-year-old, a 37, and a 49-year-old person. Now think about that. Think about that. I said think about that. 47, 8, 9, and 2, 11, and 1, 12. 12 of them were teenagers. And they lost their life. Recently also, in Iran, 65 people died in a plane crash. You heard the news?
Amen.
Isn't that so? So think about all these people who died. You think those people that got shot in the school, they were prepared for that? The children went to school. School is supposed to be a safe place, isn't that so?
Amen.
Those people who were traveling in that plane, do you think if they know that they were going to die, they would have traveled?
No.
But the fact is, generally speaking, we don't know the exact time when we're going to die. Anybody know?
No.
Unless God reveal it to you. So just in case, just suppose now, you should die. Are you prepared to meet the Almighty God? What will matter then? If you die, what will matter then? Money? Fame? Popularity? What will matter if you die? You know what will matter? Whether your heart was right with God, and whether you were living to please the Lord, and you were working to please the Lord. That is what will matter.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So let us all be informed. Every one of us, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, young or old, we have an appointment, or I should put it the other way, death have an appointment with us. I said death have an appointment with us.
Amen.
Now, you know, some of us can make an appointment with a doctor and break it. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
You can make an appointment with a lawyer and break it.
Yeah.
You can even make an appointment with the president of this country and make it.
Yeah.
But if there's one appointment that you will not be able to break, is the appointment with death. Why? Because now you making the appointment with death. Is death making the appointment with you?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And you will have to keep that appointment.
Yeah.
Hebrews 9:27 tells us, it's appointed unto men what?
Once
to die. And after this is what?
Judgment
of God. After this, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this is judgment. Amos 4:12 teaches us, prepare to meet thy God. So are you prepared to meet the Almighty God if you should die? You know people die in church? Do you know in the Bible people die in church? Two people that die in church.
Huh?
I'm talking about Bible, biblical. We come to present day. Who died in church? Ananias and Sapphira died in church. Isn't that the fallen in church and died? Then presently now people going into, you see when that is happening, it tells us the condition of a country or the condition of the heart of people. When you go into church and start killing people, things are maybe at the worst. Perilous time should come, the Bible tells us. I just got some information that the organization that I still belong to in Guyana, Assemblies of God, thieves broke into one of the offices there and stole. Now, there's a church organization, and they went into that place and stole. One of these days, brother, sister, you and I will have to stand before God and we'll have to give an account for the lives that we have lived. So let's go down a little, then I'm going to branch off and tell you a little about myself so you can be encouraged. Now, what is death? If somebody asks you, define death. What is death? The 17 people that died in Florida, they are in that school, and the 65 people died in that plane crash, they experienced something called death. Right? But what is this thing you call death? The Bible answers this question. In the book of James 2:26, it tells us, for as the body without the spirit is dead, or the body separated from the spirit is dead. Now, in us, we are what the Bible refers to as being spirit, soul, and body. In this body of ours lives a spirit and a soul. And we are really spirits. We are really spirits that lives in body. So if somebody tell you, you look like a spirit, tell them, listen, I don't even look like that. I am a spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
Isn't that so?
Amen.
I am a spirit.
Yeah.
I live in a human body. So when your spirit exits, or when your spirit comes out of your body, exits your body, that is what is called physical death. And that can happen anytime. Amen? Who would like to hear about death? Who want to die? Huh? Who want to die? How many kinds of death the Bible teaches about? I have to move a little faster now. How many kinds of death? Three kinds of death. One, physical death. And what is physical death? Just added there, a separation of man's spirit from his body. Then there's spiritual death. Now, what is spiritual death? What does it mean to be spiritually dead? Huh? Ephesians 2:1, and you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Spiritually, we were dead, right? But thank God when we received Christ, we resurrected spiritually from death. Then there's a third kind of death. This is the worst one. There's a third kind of death. This is the most terrible of them all. And this means to be eternally separated from God in a literal place called hell. Revelation 21:8 tells us, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. In the lake of fire. So there's three kinds of death: physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death, which means to be eternally separated from the Almighty God. Now, what is the cause of death? Everybody should know this one. What is the cause of death? Sin. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18:20 tells us, the soul that sinneth it shall
die.
The soul that sinneth it shall
die.
Alright, according to the recent statistic that I've received from the internet, an average of 60 million people die every year. I said an average of 60 million people die a year. Every month, 5 million people die. Every week, 1,250,000 people die. Every day that God spare your life, 172,800 people die. Every hour, if you were in this church for an hour, 7,200 people would have died. Every minute, 120 people die. And every second, every time the clock go tick, an average of 2 persons die. When the clock go tick again, who will be the next two? When the clock go, you're just snapping your finger. When the clock go tick again, who will be the next two? Somebody might be saying, not me. Not me. I guess those people that died in the plane crash, they weren't thinking about death.
Yeah.
The same thing that lost their life in the school in Florida, they were not thinking about death. Huh? You see, none of us know the day. None of us know the hour.
Amen.
When we're going to die.
Amen.
Do you know people go to bed and never wake up? Huh?
Yes.
I had a friend that came from Trinidad, went to bed, right? He came and visited this country, came to bed, he never wake up. He died. He died. Now, most of the people who have died today, they were not seriously thinking about death. No wonder the psalmist tells us to number our days that we apply our heart unto wisdom, Psalm 92. Did you ever stop to think how many days you would live if you lived to be 70 years of age? Well, I didn't reach it yet, but I'm not very far from it, right? You would just live for 25,550 days if you lived to be 70. There's not very many days. 25,550 days. Then you'd be gone. This brings us to the next question. What happened to you when you died? According to the scripture, what happens to you when you pull your last breath? I was in a room one time to go praying for a woman. I think myself and wife was there. And as we were there, this lady was just blowing like this. So I go and do what I have to do. And she makes something. If you see a person dying, right? You want if death is something so it looks so simple, and then she made something like that, and that's it. The lady was there, and I was there, my wife was there, and I think the daughters and sisters that are from the class are screaming. Just like that, the lady died. So I don't know. Do you know the day you're gonna die? So what's the most important thing? Prepare to meet thy God. So when you pull your last breath now, when you pull your last breath, where will you spend eternity? When you die, where will you spend eternity? I think, you know, a lot of us, maybe even in the church, we're taking this thing too lightly. We're not serious about death. We're not serious about heaven. We're not serious about hell. But we got to get serious, amen? Because these are facts. I said these are facts.
Amen.
And sometimes, you know, we want to do things that will only bring pleasure for the present. But we have to think about the future. What Jesus said, what shall profit a man if he shall what?
Gain
the whole world. And lose his own soul. Rather, let me go on here. If while we're living here upon planet Earth, we receive Christ as our Savior and Lord, and we're living according to the Bible, praise the Lord. When we die, we'll go to heaven to live with God. Here what the Bible put it, 2 Corinthians 5:8. To be absent from the body, present with the Lord. You think this is for everybody? You think this is for everybody? Something, you know, you go to a wake. Somebody die, you go, you know, you go to the viewing or whatever. Everybody's singing. Christian and non-Christian, everybody's singing. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we who all get to heaven.
Yeah.
Then we who all get to heaven? Heaven is only for those poor who receive Christ as their Lord and Savior and is living according to the Bible.
Amen.
Then you can say what? Absent from the body,
present,
present with the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah. And how does the Bible describe this place we call heaven? It's not, so many of us are not millionaires. We're not like President Trump. We have a couple of billion. I don't know what money we have. Or like, who's the richest man around now? Bill Gates? Or whoever. We might be rich like that. We might not have an airplane and helicopter.
I'm rich.
Huh?
I'm rich.
All right, good. Find out how rich you are. Let's find out how rich you are. Good. Present with the Lord. Now, how does the Bible describe heaven? Heaven, according to the Bible, is a high and holy place. It's a place where we will not have need of light. For the glory or light of our Lord will bright up heaven. Thank God. No more electricity bill they have to pay, right?
Amen.
Amen. Glory of the Lord, light up heaven. Hallelujah. It will be, I believe, the most beautiful place your eyes will ever behold. It will be a place of perfect government, perfect provision, perfect sinlessness, perfect communion, perfect possession, perfect glory, perfect satisfaction, perfect peace, and perfect joy. It will be a place of mansions, temples, where streets will be of gold, of rivers and musical instruments. It will be a place of no hunger nor thirst, a place of... Can you imagine going to heaven and being hungry? Or thirsty? It will be a place of no hunger nor thirst, I believe. A place of no sorrow, pain, nor death. It will be a place of perfect knowledge, rest, joyous service, and a place of stability. That is a place where the joy, peace, health, and true happiness will be forever. Most important, God will be there. His angels will be there. His saints will be there. And what will be the result for those now? Who said, man, listen, I'm my own big man. I live how I want to live. I do what I want to do. All right. I agree with you. You're your own big man or own big woman, and you can do what you want to do. But listen what the Bible says. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Listen, whether you believe it or not, one day you are accountable to God for your life.
Amen.
And for your service. Yes, I can do what I want to do. But what happens when you die? I give you 200 years to live. If you, you know, some people used to live long, according to the scripture, long, they used to live long. Huh? All right, I give you 200 in these days and time. If you live to 200 years and you do all that, you party, you drink, and you smoke, and you use drugs, and you do whatever you want to do. And then, wait, you don't have to die? Come on. Would you not have to die?
Yes.
So when you die, when you die, you'll have to go on in eternity, right? Isn't that so? And if you hadn't accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, you weren't living according to the scripture, then when you die, you'll go to a place called hell. I said you'll go to a place called hell. And how does the Bible describe hell? It's a place of what? Fire. Now, have you ever gotten born? Huh?
Yeah,
you got born.
Yeah.
Well, imagine we are a little born and how we behave and how we jump. So imagine you being in fire. And it will be forever and ever. And I believe God will give you a body that you will be able to bear the punishment of the fire. It will be forever and ever. And it will be a place of pain. It will be a place of pain. How many of you like pain? Anybody like pain? Why do you think people has used a lot of medication and whatever? Huh? People don't like, generally speaking, people don't like pain. But imagine in hell, your pain will be forever and ever. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not. Wait, imagine you having, well, your body will be made in such a way that the worms will be able to invade your entire body. Have them on your hand and have them on your feet and have them in your mouth and have them all over the place. The worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Place of fire, a place of pain, a place of worm, a place of torment. You know, sometimes some people might be giving a little hard time, their husband or wife saying, I need this torment anymore. I need able to torment. You know nothing about torment yet. Wait. Don't serve the Lord. You'll be in a place of torment. The rich man said, I'm tormented in this flame. Is that what the rich man said? Huh? It will be a place of everlasting punishment. But these shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. So we have a decision to make. Death is going to come to every one of us. Death is going to come to you. Death is going to come to me. Right? And when we die, we either go into either of these places. We either go into heaven or hell. So what the Bible tells us now? Choose you this day whom you will serve. So good. Let me come to my lifestyle now. I can come down a little talk about me now. I came from a Hindu background. Some of you who know about Hinduism might know the kind of religious things that we do as Hindus. My father had a Ramayana. Those of you know about Ramayana, I think he used to read from the Ramayana. Alright, they had drum, they had danta, they had harmonio. Some of you just know those, right? And I went to Hindu school. When they have their religious function, I would be there. That's my religious kind of life. My parents were business people. And I was the last child, so I was a spoiled one, right? I used to help them in the shop, right? Business, they had business. I used to help them from the shop, and I used to help myself too. I knew how to steal their money. I was in the other side of the life, a young boy. Young boy coming up. When I was about 15 years, my mother got so disgusted. My father, as a matter of fact, got so disgusted about me. He said, listen, like, they try everything possible that they knew and they keep on working. So my father turned to me, I was about 14, 15, said, whatever you want to do, you do. I got disgusted with me. On two occasions, my mother was putting me out to the house. Young boy. Was going into about 14, 15 years. When my parents sent me to school, I went to school. I in the crab bush. Well, I don't know if you know about crab bush here, right? Some of you that come from the Caribbean, you know, are especially Guyana crab bush. And then crab bush, then instead of going to school, I didn't. Some of you know about those syllables, Langos, Trandilux, and Metropole, and Globe, and all of them. I know one there. Nearly every single day, I was in the cinema. Then I started gambling. And those of you know a little about gambling, they had have a game, it's called a rap. I don't know if you know what rap, right? It's rap. So I started gambling now. Then I started drinking, a little boy, you know. I drink alcohol. At that time, a little boy, because you didn't know about this thing, experiment. I can remember that time, a quarter bottle of rum used to sell for 90 cents. You know what I will do now? I'll go to this man's shop, buy a quarter bottle of rum, and go on the kind of what we call a silent dam, right? A dam. Put this quarter bottle rum to your mouth and drink like this. So imagine what a thing would have done to my inside. Then I go take some water and drink it. So I was on the wrong side of life. I said I was on the wrong side of life. Amen. Amen. So don't think pastor know about certain things that goes on, you know. Pastor was there. That's why I try to be as merciful can be to young people and to people. Generally, because you know why? A lack of mercy was extended toward me. Amen. Blessed are the what? Merciful. For they what? Obtain mercy. But that was my life, young people. Some of you, where Samuel? Samuel, how much are you in? 14, alright. How much are you in Orlando? 12, alright. So, I just about 15 and a who's 15 here? Anyone of you are 15? All All right. Anybody 15? All right, I was just for 15 and a half. I was on that road. That road would have led me to destruction. You think so?
Amen.
I was on the road to destruction. And I got into other kinds of sins as a young little boy. It would have ruined my life. It would have destroyed my life. Then I went in one day, I went in the room and I tried this cigarette and I put the cigarette in. I was on the other side of life. So morally, my life was being destroyed. Mentally, I didn't have a good education because my parents sent me to school. Not in school. Physically, I'm assuming that my physical life was being affected because of the alcohol or whatever I was using. I had no spirituality at all. Socially, well, I had my friends and whatever. Financially, as a thief to get money for my parents. And eternally, I was going to hell. That was my condition. But thank God for Jesus. I said, thank God for Jesus. At that time, the people used to call them the Clapham Church. You ever heard of the Clapham Church? So they came wrong by where I was living. Now, I was living just at the corner, and they came there. They had a street corner. They were keeping the, like, what they call open air or whatever they were keeping, service. And I didn't want to go. They come and say, your father's a businessman and whatever. And what, you kind of embarrassed to go and say, put up your hand and accept Christ. That was embarrassing because my parents had status in the society. But I sat down, I opened one of the window. And I was listening to his mic. I can't remember what he said up there. But I remember going on my knees in that room with the door closed. And I know what the Bible says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become. I believe there and then I accept Christ as my Savior and Lord. And let me tell you, this is not from knowledge. This is not theory. This is experience. You know, one person may have theoretical knowledge that fire burns. Isn't that so? And one have the experience of fire. Who you think? And one have the experience. And another experience fire. Who you think know more about fire? The one with the theory or the one with the experience? The one with the experience, right? So I can tell anybody that Jesus saved people like me. And he's take nothing and make something beautiful out of a nothing life.
Amen.
Jesus was able to do that. So I went down there. That prayer, I know the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I received Christ into my life as my Savior and as my Lord. I accept him there as my Savior and my Lord. What was the result of that? I didn't know really going on. But listen, once a person received Christ as their Savior and Lord, they got to be a change. If they got a change, I question your salvation. I said, I question your salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so, after a period of time, we begin to notice, I stopped doing them things. As the song goes, things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. I find myself, I'm not doing them anymore. I find myself in church now, right? After a period of time, like my father noticed this change. He was telling me, do whatever I want to do. He said, hear what he said. He was not a Christian. He didn't do this. I was praying for you. I was praying for you. So, because there was a change in my life. I said there was a change in my life. My moral life has completely changed. Because, not because of me, not because of religion, but because of Jesus. And those who have the opportunity now to accept Christ as your Savior and Lord, those of you who are young or old, do so before it's too late. I said do so before it's too late.
Amen.
That's why we have to trust God. We trust in God to do our best, to get our Sunday school back together. We don't know the place. The gentleman, the person who owned who looked at the properties, he's going to get the thing for us and whatever. We got to work. I think he could be here today. We want, because listen, Sunday school is an important arm of the church. While the minds are young, you can trust God to give them the word of God and trust God in the word of God, do something in their lives. Amen? Of course, the word of God could work in the children and could work in the young people. It could work in the elderly people. Praise the Lord. And we thank God for every child that comes to this church. Some of them just come, you know, like Josiah, and you can dance, whatever. But there's Josiah, everybody knows Josiah, he's a little boy, right?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. We have them little children. Let's be like parents to them, grandparents to them, amen?
Yes,
don't treat them anyhow, treat them with love. Treat them with, imagine when you were the age, how you used to behave. So, trust God for them. Isn't that so?
Amen.
So, my life was changed. I find myself going to church now. Praise God. So, mentally now, I didn't have a good education. I think at one time I want to spell Jesus Christ. I didn't even know how to spell Jesus Christ. Like I came from the wrong side of life, right?
Yeah.
But thank God, God is able to help you, not only change you morally, but mentally is able to help you. I said mentally is able to help you.
Amen.
When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, see what He does for you in your mental life. So I tried to read the Bible, got the Bible out and I tried. Maybe. All the big words I can't put, I walk around, you know, I can't remember, just pass them. But I had a desire in my heart. You know what God looks for? The desire. The desire that is in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Blessed are those that what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. For what the Bible says, they shall be filled. Amen? There was a desire in my heart. So, let me look at the mental side now. A whole set of boys were going at Bible school. They were going to Bible school, right? In Guyana. I said, I'm going to Bible school also. No, we don't go to Bible school. You got to write essay, you got to do. And me, you know much. But I went to Bible school. One of the person that myself went to Bible school is my friend that comes here, Chamla. And he's a brilliant fellow. I think he has some degree in whatever. What he used to be a school teacher. Me, all the certificate, I have was a board certificate. So I got into school now, Bible school now, and you perform it right. So now, like the Lord just touched my mind, right? He just touched my mind, and I begin to learn things. I begin to know things. Somebody was saying, I think it was Raylan. All you got to do is make a step, amen?
Yeah.
I said make a four step. Amen. And this means God bless you something, don't get proud. Give God praise and thanks with and let the Lord raise you up, amen?
Yeah.
And make you whatever you have to do. Make a step, take a step. I take a step by, you know, I got to say by faith.
Yeah, amen.
I went to Bible school. Then I started to perform. So my friend there, you know, he asked me what you got on your paper. Because I didn't know what the A, B, C, or D. So we have on your paper. I got an E on my paper. An E on my paper. And when we graduated from Bible school, my friend came out fourth and I came out second.
Amen.
I said I came out second.
Amen.
God help me. Academically.
Yeah.
Amen.
I said, now that's why you see some people come to church and they might be not able to read or write properly. I don't put down those people. Because you know what God did for me, He can do for you also, amen?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Then I went to something called the Urban School of Theology. There's a higher form of learning. And they had people from America that came and teach us and whatever. One time I was in the class, I never did what I do when I was going to Urban School of Theology. I wake up whole night, I think, studying to get to do an exam on the next day. So all the boys, have them boys educated, they got this subject and whatever. And I did what I had to do. And they said, well, they were looking over the papers, who got the best? I got 100%.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? I topped the class.
Amen.
100%, I topped the whole class. My pastor, that was a pastor by name, Jai Paul Singh. I was an assistant pastor. And when he heard what happened, he said, there got to be a miracle. He said, there got to be a miracle. Praise the Lord. And so I came out of Kirby School of Theology with sheer A's and B. And I got my diploma in theology. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I said I have my diploma in theology. I got my certificate from Bible school. Praise the Lord. And then the person who looked after the Bible school and come now and ask me, would you be willing to teach the Bible school? What the man could have made me understand Jesus Christ? We're going to teach Bible school now. And among them you have people from all walks of life.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
You have a head teacher in this class. You got this Bible. Yes, we want you to come and teach this Bible Institute.
Wow. That's
God. Had to be a miracle. So I went and I taught them. And the people liked the teaching. But I had to make a decision between Bible school and evangelism because I used to be a lot in evangelism. So I choose evangelism. I preach the gospel about 90-something different places in Guyana. Yep. On the 10th and whatever, I went to Linden. I went from right down the East Bank up to Linden. I went on the East Coast till up to over the river. Borbisa, I can't remember all the place. Then I went to Essequibo. I went to a place named Akawini. All those places preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So what I'm saying, young people, old people, it doesn't matter who you are, God can take nothing and make something out of you.
Amen.
I said God can take nothing and make something. Don't put yourself down. If you're playing your drums, if you're playing your little guitar or whatever, make yourself a bit. And don't think when God bless you, saying, you know, I can see what we're going to do if I don't come. Biggest mistake we're going to make. Because Saul, like he think, he get too big for his shoes, so to speak. Remember King Saul?
Yeah.
God said, out with you, in with David. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
Comes with a joy, comes with a privilege to get to do something for God. Amen?
Amen.
Make yourself a bit and say, yes, what can I do for the Lord? If you could start sweeping the church, it would be great. I used to sweep the church, you know. Yes, I used to sweep the church. You have tiles, so. I used to do that. But you see, when you humble yourself, what God says, He's going to exalt you. If you get an opportunity to do that, do it. And what the Bible says, whatever you do as unto the Lord and not unto men. So by the grace of God, the Lord helped me morally. He helped me mentally, my academics, then physically. Hallelujah. The word says about whose stripes you were healed. And God is the what? Strength of your life. So I began to trust God for healing. And I try to do the right thing, right? Eat what I'm supposed to eat and whatever. Praise the Lord. And I'm not saying that you should do this. If you go to a doctor and they give you a prescription, you have to use your medication. Amen?
Amen.
But if you can believe God, you can believe God, God could heal you. So I went to a doctor over in Guyana. He told me, you know what? Both of your eyes have cataract. Now, I tell you, hearing the news like that, it kind of gets you down to spirit, isn't that so?
Yeah.
They're not nice, something nice to hear. So, what the word says? What the word of God says? I am the Lord that healeth thee. So I was concerned. I came over to America and I went to the doctor back to check my ear. I said, I have cataract. He said, you don't got no cataract. What the Lord said? I am the Lord that
healeth.
And thank God, God, heal me.
Amen.
I didn't have to take no kind of surgery or do anything. All right? I find one of my heel was hurting. As a matter of fact, I think both was hurting. So I went and had a friend who was a medical doctor. I went to him, he took an x-ray. And he said, look, both of you, and have spores. Right? That thing is hurt. That will hurt. Spores and did the ankle. He said, listen, it's better you do the surgery over here. It will only cost you $200,000, right? And he said, I'll tell you less of it, $200,000. Me, not a millionaire. I trust God for what I get. Amen? So I believe God. Hallelujah. And to this day, I can pound on it. Hallelujah. The Lord said what? I am the Lord. So God healed me. Save me and healed me. And praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed. Some people, they are kind of ashamed for telling their age, especially maybe ladies. Right? I'm not afraid of that. Praise the Lord. I'm 60 and 5 years of age.
Amen.
I said I'm 60 and 5 years of age.
Yes,
and I don't use no medication.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord said, I am the Lord.
Amen.
And I use whatever God has used and praise the Lord. Spiritually, the Lord moved me up from being a baby Christian to a child, to a mature Christian, to now I'm able to be involved in the service. Socially, my friends are friends from all walks of life, generally speaking. Financially, every single one of my needs are met. What the Bible says, my God shall supply how much of your needs? All your needs. And eternally, most important, when I die, I go to be with the Lord. Amen? Well, listen. After I get to know a purpose in my heart, say, God, this is what I want. I want to just live. You hear me saying it over and over? You hear me saying that? I want to live to please you, Lord. And I want to work to please you, Lord. And that was the standard of my life. That was my goal, my aim in life. I want to live to please you. And I want to work to please you, Lord. And that is what I'm doing to this day. So now, in relation to the service of the Lord now, I was there at Makdum. While I was there, after a period of time, I got married to my beautiful wife. Praise the Lord. Amen. to me, right, she's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Amen.
Now, you must be able to say that about your wife or all.
Amen to that, Pastor.
Amen. God, yes. She was very pretty when she was young. No, no. And then the pastor, you know, he wanted a beautiful girl, right? All right. I think they wanted to her go on this model. I think they wanted her to go when she was young.
It's
a hard one. Well, anyhow. I got married now. But guess what? At what age I got married? That's what I'm going to talk about. I was 21 years of age when I got married. And my wife was 17 years of age. This is how much I forget the amount of years we married now. 40-something years now we're married. 44? 44 years now we're married. And thank God to the one woman. I said thank God to the one woman. Whom God have joined together. Let no man put asunder. Praise the Lord. So I started now in Makdum. And we work. Something you remember? My wife used to borrow brick, right? Makdum. But I've got a big chart now, you know. Help, I think they used to borrow brick and what? We work in Makdum, to our work in Houston, work in Agricola, labor for the Lord. Until now, they have a big church and they have 200 members in that church. We have a foundation kind of people, right? We have a building and whatever. Hallelujah. Then we left there and went into a place named Enterprise. Now, Enterprise at that time was like the Red Sea. You get things coming in the village. Well, after a period of time, you get nothing going up. So we had to do now. Walk up that road. To go on to get the public road to get things to come. We have two sets of transportation you got to take. Sometimes I have my wife and Joshua with a little boy. And you see, yeah, he got it too. And got them on the road. At least, I'm thinking one time out in the morning time. Got them there and we trusting Lord to go. To go do the work of the Lord. I spent 10 years in Enterprise. Build a church there. We built a church there. Left there, went to a place named New Road. There's a New Road Assembly God Church. And I passed it for not very long. And we were able to do what we were able to do there. Then I came to America. So then I came to America. I never had any plan to come to America. But see, when God wanted Joseph to go to a certain place, he certain things to happen, he ended up in Egypt, isn't it? So, but I thank God for my wife. She always supported me. Because I used to be on the go, you know, crusade all, but she used to work and she used to help support. Praise the Lord. So we come in America now. And what I'm telling the young people now, what I'm telling the older folks too now, right? You live for please God and work for please God. And whatever little you get to do, do it for the Lord. Come to the joy. Come to the privilege. Lord, I got the opportunity to do something for you. I learned to play the guitar. I'm not a professional guitarist, but I used to be the guitarist in the church. And now I'm still playing guitar. Amen. I used to be the chorus leader in the church. So I still can sing up to now. I used to be the soloist in the church. I still sing up to now. Till the convention or whatever when they had in Guyana, they have national. I used to be in the convention. Yep. So we did whatever we could do. Trust God and live for Him from a tender age. So I was like, you know, Guyanese terminology, I said, Patsat, you know what I mean by that? Everything. The only department I was serving is WM because it was women. Everything I mean. Wanted to do something, Lord. Get the tracks. Something I would give out tracks, right? Give out the tracks. Do what God serve the Lord. Go to the Dharamshala. and minister the word. When I came over here, God was good. Some of you know you were at 212. 205, sorry. 205. And do you know the amount of money to get there? $100 a month. $100 a month. Why didn't complain? My wife was working. We did what we had to do. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen?
Amen.
And after the brethren was good and increased, then we went to Sister Simpson. And praise the Lord. Then we went to 212 and now we are here. Now we are foundational people, right? We trust God to build people, not the church. Thank God for the church. But we trust God to build people's lives.
Yes.
Amen? Get people saved and show them the right from the wrong and help them to do the right thing. The Bible says, narrow is the way that what? Leads to life eternal. And broad is the way that leads. Huh? Broad is the way that leads to what? Now I know by grace of God, we've been through all kind of things. We live for the Lord. I rather by God's help. My goal in life is to live to please God, work to please God.
Amen.
And God miraculously help us from then to now. Yeah. I said God miraculously help us from then to now.
Amen.
I thank God for all you brethren here, every one of you. Because listen, together we're going to build the kingdom.
Amen.
I said together we're going to build the kingdom.
Amen.
And I want to encourage us. Now, whatever God, whatever you put your hand to do for the Lord, say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm going to do my best for you, Lord. I'm going to trust you by your help and strength to live to please you and to work to please you. Hallelujah. When we come in, I got to close off. When we came into the kingdom, after God saved us, I wanted a pastor to go to Georgia, right in Maktoum. And I was asking the board to give some money to go to the Georgia. And that money, and I didn't mean have that money. Things were rough with us. I think what one time we eat the morning meal, didn't know the next one I was married. But we trust God. I said we trust God.
Yeah,
and today in Guyana we have God bless us with lands and we bless with a house, a nice house. Praise the Lord, thank you why we could go back and just be back there.
Yeah.
God brought us over here and God took care of us. I said God took care of us.
Amen.
The rent is being paid and everything's. And listen, I'm trusting the Lord that by this year end we'll have 100 people in this church.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
We're going to have 100 people because I'm believing God for that. And in 2 years' time we'll have our own church building. Do you believe God for that?
Yes.
Come on, do you believe God for that?
Amen.
Next 2 years we'll have all the goals that we have. If God could take me from nothing and make me what I am today, why you can't do those other simple things?
Yes.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
And I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage you, and let you know that if God could have done it for a person like me, he can do it for you.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. I said he can do it for you. Then some over here after somebody or teaching or whatever, they say, listen, we can put you on, I know internet or whatever, TV, something, we can put you on it, come. And we can pay you too. We can get a certain amount of money too. Anyhow, I didn't follow them up too closely, right? I didn't follow them too closely. Because my purpose in life is not money. If I want money, I was a businessman, right? If I wanted money, I go into business. As I go into business,
yeah,
my purpose in life is to live to please God, or work to please God, and do whatever He wants. Wherever He wants me, there's where I want to be. Wherever He wants me to go, there's where I want to go. And listen, somebody, sometimes, you know, people might say, well, we get out of life. I get fulfillment.
Yeah.
I get satisfaction. I got the joy of the Lord. And I got a hope beyond the grave. But when I die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Some people try to get satisfaction, fulfillment in riches or in a career or in something else in life. You'll never be truly satisfied and fulfilled until you make it the goal in your life to live to please God and work to please God and see what's happening in your life.
Amen.
God took me from nothing. And today what I am, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of my Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. God made me what I am. So let me tell you this now. Young people, if you're here, you're in the church, you better stay in the church. Don't you ever think about leaving the church. You think the ark was a pleasant place to be in? With all those rocks, the lion and the tiger and the dog and the cats. You think it was the best place to be in? Knowing his family was in there. Isn't that so? It might not be the best place, but listen, it was the safest place, because outside was what? A flood. People are losing their lives. And sometimes in the church, you know, you got some things might not be looking good. And while you stay right in the church, don't let no devil or war or flesh or anybody get you out of the church. That's what the devil wants.
Yes,
because once he gets you all by yourself, he can prowl upon you and possibly prowl and destroy your life. Thief cometh what for? To steal. And you know, I see some things that happen, and I'm so sorrowful, and I'm concerned, because I know these brethren or these children go follow that lines, follow that direction with how they're going to end up. Because I was in that. If they follow that road that they're on, I know they're going to end up. And parents, we got to set a good example before our children.
Amen.
Isn't that so?
Yeah.
We want the children to come up good. We got to be an example to them.
Yeah.
Isn't that so? So that they can follow our footstep.
Yeah.
We must follow Christ. And trust God that your children also will follow Christ. Because this world here, I don't know what can be the next. So I want to encourage you, young people. I want to encourage you, old people. Live for Jesus. Serve the Lord. He's able to help you in every aspect of your life. He did it for me. I would consider myself then a nobody. He did it for me. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you happy for Jesus?
Yes.
It's all about Jesus.
Yes.
Not about you and me. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
And let's praise him. Let's glorify him. And let's magnify him. And don't play the fool, so to speak. Heaven is a real place. And hell is a real... One time I think I was studying with hell, that time I didn't know, and I got fearful. Because imagine if I end up in hell and I don't have a next chance. I can be there forever and ever in fire and pain, in torment. Forever and ever? Yes, forever and ever. So I want to encourage us to live for Jesus. Serve the Lord. Give him your best way to have life. For you don't know the day that you're going to die. I'm going to close now. Just suppose... I know it's not happening in this church, by the grace of God. No man in God shoot up in this church in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that spirit. Amen? And the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him. You still got to believe God for these things. Amen?
Yeah.
Nobody can come and touch one of us in this church. And once you're serving the Lord, nobody can touch you. God have what? Here's it wrong. But just suppose you should die right now. Are you going to heaven or hell? Are you going to heaven or hell?
Heaven.
We got to know that in our hearts. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
I said we got to know that in our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
And I want to encourage us, don't leave this place unless you know your heart is right with God. And let be right with God at all times, so that if you die, you don't stay absent from the body.
Present
with the Lord. And that you wouldn't end up in it. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, thank you for this message, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for helping me to share God. Share my life, Lord.
Yes.
So others could be helped. Young people could be helped. Old people could be helped. And Lord, I can say without a shadow of a doubt, the best thing we can do with our lives is to live to please you and to work to please you. Nothing else in the universe, Lord, is more important than this. I want to pray now. Now, if there's anybody in here, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, Lord. Never accept him as a Savior, Lord. You're not living according to the Holy Bible. Listen, if you die now, you're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. I'm going to tell you what it is. Right? You're going straight to hell. And if there are people in here who once accept Christ as a Savior and Lord, and you're living a life of sin and continue to live a life of sin, and you die, you're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. But today, thank God, you can do something about it. Amen? Remember the prodigal son? What happened? He went back to the Father. Did the Father forgive him?
Yeah.
So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want everybody to be quiet now. Nothing. Our musician, just hold it. Let me just lead people in prayer. Those of you who have never accepted Christ as a Lord and Savior, and you want Jesus to be a Savior and Lord, I want to lead you in a prayer. I cannot save you, but the Lord can. And I want you to make sure that you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Don't know Christ as Savior and Lord. I want him to be a Savior and Lord. I want you to repeat this prayer after me and let Jesus become your Savior and Lord. Dear God, we realize that we are sinners. We are sorry for living a life of sin. In Jesus' name. And we repent of every sin. In Jesus' name. We believe that Jesus came and died for us. He was buried. And he rose again from the dead. We believe this with our hearts. And confess it with our mouth. Lord Jesus, we receive you now into our lives. As our Savior and Lord. And confess your Lordship over our lives. In Jesus' name. Keep your head bowed. For all of you who repeat that prayer. Father, I break the power of Satan over their lives. I break evil spirits working in their lives. Lord, I pray you're going to help them to love you, to serve you, and give you their best while they have life. Now, if you're a Christian, you know to talk to God. If you know that you're living a life of sin, say, Lord, I finish with this. I'm not going to live a life of sin anymore, Lord. I'm going to return to you, Lord. I'm going to give you my best, Lord, because I don't know the day I'm going to die. I'm going to start living for you. I'm going to trust you, Lord, that you will help me to live a life that is pleasing to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, Father, have mercy. Thank God he's a merciful God. I said he's a merciful God. Although we messed up, he still forgives. He's faithful and just. To forgive us our sins and to what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we're going to worship a little. I'm going to pray. I know a lot of people don't get to reach on Wednesday. Don't get to reach on Friday. But Sunday. And I need God willing as your minister to pray for you. You have a problem, you have a need. And if God reveal it, I'll just minister to you. So let's trust God and see how he moves and what he does. Listen, we need to hear from God. We need to have God to help us. And as the Lord minister, let's move along. So rather, let's move along and trust God. If you have to go because you have to work or whatever, it's understandable. But otherwise, I want you to, Lord, to spend a little time in God's presence. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. You know what the scripture says? We don't want to go from the presence of the Lord. When God is moving, let's move with him. Let's trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Those that worship, let's everybody stand to your feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in a special way, we pray for our young people, Lord. Oh God, we ask that you will bless them, Lord. Help them to give you their best while they have life, oh God. Touch them, Lord. Anoint them, Lord. Use them for your glory, your honor, and your praise, Lord. Touch everyone that is present here, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father God. Who gave the saving grace? Who died in my place? Who is the King of all kings? Who is the Lord of all lords? Nobody but the Lord. Nobody but the Lord. Who gives the saving grace? In my place, Lord, who is the King of all kings? Lord, who is the Lord of all lords? Nobody but my Lord. Nobody but my Lord. Yes, he made it, but he made the sea and the land. Fashion them together with his mighty hand. Lord, who is the King of all kings? Lord, who is the Lord of all lords? Nobody but my Lord. Nobody but my Lord. Ooh. The saving grace, oh, died in my place. Lord, who is the King of all? Jesus, Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. Just over 2,000 years ago, He gave His life for me. Jesus, He died for me on the cross of Calvary. Just over 2,000 years ago, He came and gave His life for me. As we
stop it.